Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Cold Spring Presbyterian Church. Glad that you've come today. We're here to celebrate the life of Betsy Crosby. Betsy's life represents many blessings, and each of you have brought your own story, whether in your heart, mind, or maybe something you'd like to share a bit later in our worship service. This is a place of spiritual intersections, a time for us to think about Betsy's life, the Savior that she served, and the family, friends, and community that she offered her gifts to. Again, welcome. If you need any special information or need to find out anything, you can ask Judy there in the back if you need to find the restroom or if there's anything else you might need. Thank you, Judy, for being our greeter today. That's excellent. That's a good approve. And we're going to be blessed. We're going to read some scripture today. We're going to have some time for prayers. We're going to have some special music. And you all get to sing two of Betsy's favorite hymns. So let's begin our worship today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in whose name we gather. Jesus, the risen Lord, has given us Easter hope. Let us celebrate God's love in our midst.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am wrong. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. On to the light, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Thank you, Barbara. Carol. Let's hear from the Word of God. I'll be reading some selected passages this morning. from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This is the Word of God. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. From Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and earth. God does not let you be faint or grow weary. God's understanding is unsearchable. God gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths become faint and weary. And the young, they often fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen to the good news about Jesus from John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking. He says to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If that were not so, I would have told you. I am going there on purpose to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will take you to be where I am, so that wherever I am, you also will be. And you know the way to the place where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I invite you responsively to read with me Psalm 23 as it's printed in our worship guide this morning. The right-hand side is over here, and the left-hand side is over here. Let us read the Word of God together. Together, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." On the right? Go ahead, the right.
"He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil.
And together, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. For those who are able, I invite you to stand. Let's sing a hymn, "Amazing Grace." You'll find it in the blue hymnal, number 280.
Thank you.
be seated. As we witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are here to celebrate the life of Betsy Crosby. Everything that we witnessed in Betsy's life were between the dates of March 14, 1927 to May 3, 2019. A life worth living and a life worth remembering. We'll invite members of the family first, and those who have any comments they intended to share this morning to come up and begin sharing them now. Andrew, would you like to lead today?
I've missed you all very much. I've missed you. I've missed this church and the community it offered. I've missed Summer Circle. I'm going to get through this. It's going to work. I've missed Summer Circle and all the friends and neighbors from there. I've missed the lighthouse and the lighthouse beach. I've missed the galleries and shops downtown. And I've missed the restaurants. Now, of course, I miss my mother. Which brings us to my point. Mom has missed you all very much as well. She's missed you. She's missed this church. She's missed the community she found here. She's missed Summer Circle and all the neighbors and friends from there. She's missed the beach. She's missed the shops. She's missed the stores. And she's also missed the restaurants. But mostly, she's missed you. And I can assure you of that. My mother wasn't perfect. None of us is. But among her finest qualities was the remarkable ability to find great neighbors and friends. She had always done that, whether it was from her hometown in rural upstate New York, or in Boston where she attended college, or places like Schenectady, New York, or Bridgeport, Connecticut, and then on to Glenrock, New Jersey. She always managed to find great neighbors and friends, and especially a handful of people that she kept up with for decades. I remember all the stories about people from decades ago. But that talent was most apparent right here in Cape May. Since she moved from here, she spoke of you often and thought of you more often still. She spoke of visiting... It's going to work. I'm going to get through it. She spoke of visiting the Cape May Point Beach with Beverly, of shopping and having lunch with Anne and Phyllis, dinners with Doris and Mike and Audrey, the holiday meals at the Bears that became a new tradition for us, and the Christmas parties that she and Dad so often held with pretty much everybody. And she spoke of the tinkering, she spoke of just tinkering in the front yard and getting the mail, because down in this neighborhood, she would just step out of the house and always bump into neighbors and wave to friends. Everyone was passing by, and she loved that availability of everyone right here. I could go on. Mom sure did when we spoke during my visits. And when she did go on about all those times, she always ended it the same way. She'd squint into the distance, tilt her head, pause for a long time, and then she'd quietly say, "It was nice. It was just nice there." Then she'd pause again before adding, "The people there were so nice." Mom had a gift for understatement, perhaps especially when she was trying to be profound. But I got the point, and I agreed. Yes, I'd say, it was nice. As Mom weakened, and we knew her time could be very short, I always made sure to work a bunch of memorable times into our phone calls, which were quite brief, excuse me, because Mom tired so easily. I'd say I'd been thinking about the times I'd been shopping, taking her shopping at Boscov's, and I'd tell her how fun that was. And she'd say, "Yes, that was nice." And I told her I enjoyed helping out when Dad got sick, and when she herself needed to go to the hospital for heart trouble. And she'd say, "Yes, you were so nice. That was nice of you." And I'd tell her about you. I'd say I'd been in touch with Pastor Kevin and Roseanne and Joan and Ruth, and Judy and Mary and Bob and Jane and Bob and Peg. And I'd say, everyone's thinking of you. Everyone's praying for you. And she'd say, that's nice. That was so nice of them to do that. So my last several talks with Mom were not especially deep or profound. No revelations, nothing worthy of a novel or a movie. But they were nice. And they were so nice, in no small part, because those talks always involved you. So I thank you, and Mom thanks you, for being so important to her and our family for so long. And with that, my reflections on my mother are done. My moment here is ended. All I want to say to you is, it's nice to see you all again. And it's nice of you to take the time to remember my mom. Thanks.
Thank you, Andrew. Please.
We had a camp in the Adirondacks as a family, and this is Aunt Betsy in the Adirondacks. A great big booming laugh was my cousin Jeff's call at camp. Uncle Lee had work in the summer, but was there for the Hornets Wasp takedown. Aunt Betsy and my mom were this dynamic force for 2 weeks every summer, as the cousins all became a band of brothers forever. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Here's to you, Bets. Short remembrance. It's a great place.
Would anyone else like to share a remembrance or a story? Yes.
I'm Nancy Reed, and I know Betsy a little bit, and I have to say she has the sweetest smile, and she always made you feel so welcome, no matter what you were doing.
Amen.
Thank you, Nancy. Someone else?
Betsy's next-door neighbor for over 20 years, and my family to this day still cannot get over that Betsy let me use her refrigerator, her extra refrigerator in the garage for those 27 years.
That's very nice. Yes, Elaine?
Well, I took a road trip in September to San Antonio, Texas, and with Fred and I. And I looked on the map to see where Betsy was. And I told Roseanne that I was going to visit her, but don't tell her in case something happened. So when we were leaving Texas to go to Louisiana, we couldn't find her address on the GPS. So I had to call her, and she was shocked. I said, well, I'm not far away. Well, she was more shocked. So I said, well, I can't find her GPS. So she called her granddaughter. Her granddaughter called me, and she was directing us. So I said to my friend, hey, you better pull off because I don't want to go past the exit. So there was a state police, or I think there's sheriffs out there, parked in the field, so we pulled off to wait. He asked if he could help us, and we told him, well, he couldn't find it on his GPS. I don't know what would have happened if she had 911 call. But anyway, her granddaughter friend was there, and we finally got him, just a couple hours later. And I'm just so glad. I felt bad when I left. She just felt, you know, she was so alone. But it was nice to visit with her, whatever I did.
Yes. We're glad you did, too. That's great. Thanks, Elaine. Someone else? Yes.
Yeah. Betsy and I kind of both retired about the same year, in 1997, and moved down to Cape May about the same year, and we met in a gym class at the hospital at the time. So that's how we we got to be friends. And then I came down here because of the birding, and I got her, was trying to get her in the birding. Well, she bought a pair of binoculars, and, well, she went down to the hog watch a few times, but she really didn't get into that, but she went to a couple of programs. And he was still working at that time, so we did a lot of shopping and just found the lay of the land down here. And we had a great time, and she got involved with the quilting bunch and the family promise and everything with their church down here. And anyway, she and I were beach buddies. We would go to the beach, and of course I don't have a suntan yet, but I don't have anybody to go to the beach with now. But we had many, many good times together.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes, Dennis.
I just wanted to say, we have the Strawberry Fest coming up, and Angie and I both called Clayton Strawberries, and Betsy would be here, and she would tell me, you want some more berries, Dennis? the ladies were very good at conversation, and the more they would talk, it seemed the faster I was able to go. and the conversation, you're really wonderful. When the Clinton Strawberry right there in the kitchen, and I have a fond memory of a wonderful lady who had her heart within what she was doing. Mm.
Thank you for sharing that, Dennis. Yes, Bob.
Yeah, I used to. I would come up from, however, by the time I got there, it's very confused.
That's okay.
However, we love Betsy very much because she's a neighbor of ours from Southern Circle, actually. We enjoy many theaters together with Doris and whoever, whoever we invited. He did invite us for a very good reason. But we had a good chat with her and also with Betsy. And we certainly enjoyed them both. And I will say that what we did notice is that when we were home and we were outside somewhere, we'd always see her go out of the car. But she would get shopping. We shop every day. She was great at that. I will thank you very much for that. I didn't want to say that. I had a motivation.
Thank you, Bob. Excellent. Yes, Lorraine?
I met Betsy at a dinner. Betsy was always so sweet. So in one of the conversations we would be talking about the little critters around our neighborhood, the squirrels, the fox, whatever. But Betsy was always there to protect them all. When we were all being very practical and saying what pesky critters they were, Betsy stood up for all of the animals. And then the other thing I remember is I seem to meet her a lot at the Acme.
Yes. Thank you, Lorraine. Oh, yes.
That seems a dear friend. She was a lover of animals as well as Dustin. And whenever I had two cats, whenever I was going away, I'd call her up and say, Betsy! She says, when are you leaving? When are you coming back? What can I do? And she would always be there for me. She was another one that always would help me if I needed something from Acme. Whenever I had several different surgeries, and she was always there to take me to rehab. I'll never forget her. Mm. She was a wonderful lady.
And thank you for sharing that. Yes, Ruth.
Betsy will be sadly, has been sadly missed by all the ladies in the circle. She was one of our main ladies. She was always there to consult you. She always spoke well of everybody, and she was always willing to come and help us with anything. And we were always there for her. Mm.
Thank you, Ruth. Another story? Remembrance? Yes.
I met Madeline Meikle, and whenever I would visit her, she had these two cats, Scamper and Cuddle. And they'd be sitting at the door looking at the window. As soon as they saw me come, they'd run and hide. I never saw these cats for almost a year. They always ran. And I remember when Betsy, she would just stop over to see how they were, and they were always there for her. And as soon as she left, they'd hide again. And I got to know Betsy because she's so personal. She asks how you're doing and asks how things. And her husband and Lady used to stop at the house. They were just a great couple, and they really were loving and caring for not only the humans, but definitely for the animals. Thank you.
You bet. Another story or remembrance? Yes, Bob.
Betsy and our family had a secret. It had nothing to do with the church, really. Although I always remembered them sitting up in here someplace. They were always there. But the secret that we had was we had an unmarried daughter, and she had an unmarried son. And we always, what?
That's not secret.
Right, that part's
the secret that we had with each other was we were trying to find a way that we could get the two of them together.
Ah.
So whenever we would meet, my wife would say, "Is he married yet? And when will he be around?" I don't think that the daughter and son ever met. Nonetheless, we carried that possibility with us throughout the years, and I thought this is probably the time to unleash that secret.
Excellent timing, Bob, as always. Yes, Roseanne.
I meet with my best friend and my great aunt for all of our affairs, including when you serve everyone.
Someone else has a story? Well, I bet you're thinking of one. So why don't we have an offering of words? A word that comes to mind when you think of Betsy. Just speak it out so everybody can hear it, and that way all of us maybe could participate a little bit more. What word comes to mind?
Her smile.
Smile, yes. Another?
Caring.
Caring.
Generous.
Generous.
Kindness.
Kindness.
Welcoming.
Welcoming.
Just fun.
Fun. Nice.
Vivacious.
Vivacious.
Nice.
Nice, yes. Another word?
She was a warm person.
A what?
A warm.
Warm person, yes. Good, Eileen.
Gracious.
Gracious. Thank you, Rob. Good words. Good words. Please join with me in prayer. Let's pause for a moment and let's think about what we have heard. The scriptures that have been heard. The song that has been sung. The words that linger in your ear. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with such caring, sweet people like Betsy. We thank you for her life today. We thank you for her confidence and faith in you, who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who knows me will never die, but will live forever." Thank you for the ways that Betsy put those words into practice. Thank you for blessing us with her family, she and Lee, the children, grandchildren, cousins, all those neighbors and friends from Summer Circle and around Cape May, and in each town in which they lived. We thank you for communities that she blessed by her presence. And we thank you here at Cold Spring Church. We thank you especially for the way she shared her love for you and her love for others through Presbyterian Women, through being active in every event, worship, being involved by inviting friends to things, serving and giving in so many countless ways. We thank you for her life and pray that you would inspire us to lead a life more like hers in all those ways that honored you. As we pray the prayer together that Jesus taught his disciples when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus was known to his disciples as the way, the truth, and the life. They called him Master. They followed him. In what way was Jesus the way? And what truth did he imbue them with? And what was that life he spoke of? Well, we hear a description of that life, of being a Jesus follower. Listen to the word of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. The Apostle Paul is writing to a church in Corinth. "The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God delights in the cheerful giver." Amen. There are lots of things that Jesus might have schooled his disciples on. We have just a glimpse of that story of Jesus in four Gospels. And Jesus' words also appear in the book of Acts and also in the book of Revelation. But we have just really a snapshot then of Jesus' life. So we might assume then that the Holy Spirit, as he inspired these writers to give us these words of Jesus, that they might contain the essence of what we need to hear. Well, as we look at those words of Jesus, to me there's a striking omission. I don't ever recall a time when Jesus asked the disciples for the names of the judges in the book of the Judges. I don't ever remember a story being captured when Jesus said, you know the Ten Commandments by heart and recite after me? I don't remember a story when Jesus asked his disciples to name the books of the Bible in order. And actually, there is not a time that Jesus sat the disciples down and had a Bible study. Well, you might say, well, Jesus was the Bible. It's the Word of God made flesh, and he is. But of all the things that might have been written about Jesus, and I'm not saying that those things did not occur, but all we have left of the story by the Holy Spirit is found really in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so in this great story, the good news about Jesus, his life, his death, his burial, his ascension, resurrection and ascension, that Jesus, in saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, what do you think the disciples heard when Jesus said those words to them? They are being troubled and anxious because these words came at a time when Jesus, probably for the 100th time, reminded them, I have come to die. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. No, it's not a high holy holiday alone that brings us there. I'm going there, and I'm going to be betrayed by people who call themselves religious. Leaders that call themselves for the people, I'm going to go there, and on purpose, I'm going to be betrayed. And I will die for the sins of all. They didn't want to hear that in any way. So in that story, Jesus giving them, anticipating, yes, things up ahead, next week or two, it's not going to be easy. But there is hope in that story. Because also Jesus told them, on the third day, he will rise again from the dead. Which makes us wonder, why were they so surprised on Easter morning? Jesus told them what was going to happen and when. Well, that's because all of us, perhaps very much like those early followers of Jesus, are so overwhelmed with things in our own life that aren't working that we just are looking for things that make sense to us. And how in the world does it make sense that Jesus, our Savior, would die? Well, because you can't have a Savior without death. You can't be welcomed into the kingdom without a life of sacrifice that Jesus gave on our behalf. But what was that way, truth, and life? Well, the early church, like in Corinth, Paul says, the one who sows sparingly will also reap how? Sparingly, sure. And the one who sows bountifully will also reap what? Kind of makes sense. So, Paul then says, if that's true, if you reap what you sow to please or for limited temporal things, human things, well then those things will just fade away. If you sow for the spiritual, sow to the things that really last, they will reap a spiritual blessing. He says then, you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I think Betsy understood that. I think her mom understood that, Andrew. I think for all the things that she enjoyed about life, the things that challenged her in life, the things that gave her anxiety in life, are probably things that we also share with her. But have you thought about the way that you have responded to these things? Because it sounds like, we take the whole gospel of Jesus, that the way of Jesus is given. For God so loved the world that he what? That whoever believes in him would have what? Right. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the gospel, in a nutshell, could be described as it's God's great love gift. Jesus is God's great love offering. And so that for every time that Jesus taught the disciples, all those encounters and experiences, the parables, the stories about life, When Jesus healed the blind person, when Jesus healed the person who was for 38 years waiting for a blessing, when Jesus went to the parts of town that nobody else would dare go, Jesus was giving and giving and giving, and that's what confounded them. And so if we want to emulate some of the wonderful things about Betsy, we should be a giver, and even more so, if we want to emulate Jesus, we should be giving more. So every Bible study should have an output. Every input should have an output. So as we gather for Bible study and learning and worship, there should always be an output. The church is not a factory that has a receiving dock without a shipping department. The worshiping community is a place where lots of inputs go in, but it must go out. So at the end of every prayer, ask yourself, in what way am I better prepared to give because I just had that time of prayer? If someone gives you a gift, your response is gratitude. You can say, in what way can I return this gift in some other way to someone else? When Jesus blesses you with an insight or a story from God's Word, or perhaps reminds you about a truth and pulls you through, inspires you by the Spirit to do some amazing thing you've never done before, in what way has that prepared you to give? And so every experience, then, is not to be a taker but a giver. And we like, by default, is to take. I know my default is to take. We know plants that are so thirsty for water, they would like suck up all the water on the planet in order to live. And also, we give them more water. Because as things are received, as we are prone to receive the gifts of God, things sprout, things come to life. And so Paul wants us to know, don't reap sparingly. Don't plant seeds sparingly. Don't withhold with grudge or judgment or acrimony. Instead, find ways of planting gifts of love and seeds of grace, gestures of hospitality, sincere arms open of welcome, because that's what our communities need. That's what our families need. That's what our Summer Circle neighborhood needs. And that's what your neighborhood needs. Signs of God's giving. And the only way that that seems to make sense to our neighbors and friends and families and to ourselves is to see it in action. So part of the way, the truth, and the life is shown in giving. Next time you read scripture, next time you sing a hymn, next time you're with a friend, next time you see a great movie, next time you experience a great meal, a conversation with a neighbor, in gratitude, ask God, how can this prepare me now to be a giver? And don't sow sparingly, but instead sow how? Bountifully. For God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. As we think about Betsy's life, her family, Lee and the rest of her family, these intersections are holy and special. These encounters and stories are important. And important not just in the hearing, but in the telling. Lord, help us, prompt us, encourage us, equip us to keep telling good news stories. That you would inspire us to do so bountifully. We thank you for the bountiful blessings that you have blessed us with through Betsy's life. And we celebrate her life in gratitude and humility. And thank you for what you continue to do as we become cheerful givers. In Jesus' name, amen. Another one of Betsy's favorite hymns is Here I Am, Lord. Please stand, if you're able, stand and sing number 525 in the blue hymnal, Here I Am, Lord.
I have heard.
thank you for gathering this morning to honor Betsy's life. Those stories that you have, keep telling them. This family's job is to keep those stories going so that we might celebrate what God has done in not just one life, but in all the lives that have been touched by the great giver, Jesus. Following this celebration service, you're invited over to Price Hall, where many of Betsy's friends have prepared a special luncheon, and all of you are invited to make your way over just that way on the other side of our campus. Now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, be assured of God's peace, God's presence, and God's power. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives peace do I give peace to you, for I have overcome the world." Amen. If you haven't seen any of the photos, please come up and take a look at some of the pictures Andrew and the family have brought.